Good morning. How good it is to be together in a spirit of worship this morning. It is quite toasty outside, but good to be in the coolness of this place, gathered together in a spirit of worship. I trust that all of you know that whether you are visiting with us for the first time or you are here for the not first time, I trust that all of you know that no matter who you are and no matter where you are on life's journey, it is our deep desire to meet you where you are, and most importantly, to share God's love with you. So welcome to all. If this is your first time visiting with us here at St. John's, we have a visitor card that we would love for you to fill out. They're found across your pews. A little card, I believe there's a mouse on it. If you would take a moment to fill that out, just so we can be in touch to thank you for joining us in worship this morning. You can either place it in the basket to the right of the door on your way out, or you can just leave it on your pew and we will collect it after our service. I don't have a ton of announcements this morning, but I do have a few. In your insert this morning, the yellow one, you can't miss it. There's just a few reminders about some things that are coming up. Our last VBS Volunteer, Believe, Serve opportunity is happening this Thursday evening, July 27th, from 6 to 8 p.m., and that is at the Garden of Health, which is on Fairgrounds Road in Hatfield, and we will meet there at 6 p.m. Last time, our event got rained out, so we're going to pray for sunny skies and not horrible heat, which I think may be our worst case, but we will still gather from 6 to 8. And another reminder is that this year is our 100th year of having a VBS program in many different forms and shapes, but a program nonetheless. So we will be celebrating that at our fellowship time on Sunday, August 6th, and that will be sponsored by the Board of Educators. So make it a special point to stay after church for some goodies on the 6th to celebrate 100 years of VBS. I believe those are all of the announcements. There are some other things for your reading here, not during the service, of course, but afterwards, when you're bored. Just take a look. There's some important information there. I believe those are all of the announcements this morning, so I'm going to invite you to join me in taking a deep breath. As we breathe in God's Spirit that fills this place and fills each one of us, as we exhale and set aside all of the many things that fill our minds and our hearts, that busy us, that keep us from being present in this time and in this place, set them aside. They will be there when you come back to them. But for now, we want to focus our hearts and our minds and lift our voices together in worship. Amen.
Worship is the time when we pause on the journey and become present to God and to each other. Instead of focusing on the past or the future, we make ourselves ready for the present and the now, giving thanks for the moment. During worship, we let go of our fears, the unfinished business, and the preoccupations that won't seem to go away. We orient ourselves toward the one who has promised us an alternative life, not a life of emptiness, but one of purpose. On this Sabbath day, this day of rest and recreation, we put down the heavy weight of the past week, and we open ourselves to the moment of God's Spirit, to new beginnings, to the vision of earth and heaven becoming one, for the moments when we are touched by all reverence and joy. Join with me now as we pray our confession. God of Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Rebecca, Jacob, and Rachel, we count ourselves as part of your beloved family. We believe you spoke to our spiritual ancestors, but often doubt you speak to us. Maybe we are too preoccupied and forget you encounter us in the most ordinary of times and places. Maybe we get distracted, or like Jacob, run away from our problems instead of being present to you and to ourselves. Forgive us, God, for doubting your persistence, perseverance, and patience, while we are busy finding excuses for avoiding you, you seek to enter our lives through ordinary people, places, and experiences. We pray for your help to stay alert, stay open, and aware that you are indeed everywhere. Amen.
God, we want to do the right things and in the right way, but sometimes life just goes sideways. We thank you for understanding and for the promise of forgiveness. We are forgiven. Praise be to God. Please be seated. Our scripture reading this morning is a continuation of our story from Genesis. Reverend Dale will help us to fill in the gaps that we missed last week when we took a little detour to the gospel readings, but we are back in the story of Genesis and we meet Jacob. Jacob left Beersheba and went towards Haran. He came to a certain place and stayed there for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down in that place. And he dreamed that there was a stairway set up on the earth, the top of it reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And the Lord stood beside him and said, "I am the Lord, the God of Abraham your father and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and to your offspring, and your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth. And you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south, and all the families of the earth shall be blessed in you and in your offspring. Know that I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you." Then Jacob woke from his sleep and said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it." And he was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." So Jacob rose early in the morning, and he took the stone that he had put under his head and set it up for a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He called the place Bethel, but the name of the city was Luz at first. Now, I don't know if I see any young friends to come up and join me this morning. Would you like to hear the children's sermon? Okay, fine. All right, well, I have some things to show you. Now, you might not be able to see them from far away, but I'm going to show you them anyway. I want you to think about your favorite place in the world. It might be a place you've been on vacation. Think of somewhere other than your home, because home is one of my favorite places. But think of somewhere that you've been that might be one of your favorite places. And then raise your hand if you've bought a souvenir from that place. Yeah, right? Well, my favorite place in the whole world, other than my home, is the Outer Banks. So I brought some of my souvenirs over the years. Of course, I have a magnet that stays on my fridge. I've been there, done that, and got the t-shirt. Oh, I have some young friends. I'm giving my children's sermon, so you can hear it along with all the adults. So I've got my t-shirt that says My Happy Place. That's my Outer Banks shirt. Of course, you can't go to the beach without picking up a seashell. Got a lot of seashells, and I have this beautiful piece of pottery that someone made on the island. So those are the four souvenirs that I wanted to bring. Why do we buy souvenirs after all, right? It's kind of because it's a place we love so much that we want to take a piece of it with us, and we want to remember it. And I always find that when we love a place so much, we either have the need to either take a piece of it with us or leave a part of us there so that everybody knows that we love it so much, that a piece of our heart is staying there and a piece of that place is coming with us. Well, this reminded me of our story today from Genesis 28. In the story, Jacob meets God in a dream. And when he wakes up, he feels so strongly that God was close by and with him in that place that he took a stone, one that he was using as a pillow, by the way, and he prayed over it, and he used it to mark the place where he had met God, because it was such a special place that he never wanted to forget it. I like to think that if Jacob were around today, he would have bought a souvenir t-shirt or a bumper sticker from that place he found himself in our story this morning. Or maybe he would have carved his initials into a tree nearby. Have you ever been to a place, and I know you have, that feels like a thin or holy place, a place where the distance between us and God feels really thin? We feel very close to God. In those kinds of places, those times, we want to remember them. We want to hold on to them so tightly that we get a souvenir from the place so we can take something with us to ensure that we never forget how we felt in that place or the memories we made. Or maybe, like Jacob and his rock, we leave something at ours at our special place to mark it, to let others know that we were here and that we're leaving a piece of our hearts here as well. So whether we are taking things with us or leaving things behind, we do it because we want to feel connected, and we don't want our special times to be forgotten. We want to remain as close to God as we were there all the time. Well, I've got good news. You really don't need to leave a rock behind, and you don't need to worry so much about buying every souvenir that you possibly can where you felt God's presence. Because in our story, we are reminded, because God tells Jacob in his dream, "I am with you always, everywhere you go." Now, there certainly are special places and very special times in our lives that we want to hold on to, but you can carry all of that in your hearts with you forever. Besides, with all the fun places you go and all the incredible memories you make, you would need a wheelbarrow to carry all the rocks you would need to mark the places you've been. So the next time you're in a really special place, or in a normal everyday place that feels really special, or you really need to feel close to God, don't worry about getting a souvenir or finding something to leave your mark. Just take a moment, a very intentional moment, to breathe in, to give thanks to God for reminding you that God is there, and ask God to help you remember that time, that feeling in your heart, and then file it away for a time that you need it to feel God close by. Giving thanks to God, giving God a shout out in the moment, being in touch with God in our little thank you or wow prayer is the very best way to mark our space and to take God with us. So let's pray together, and then we'll join in saying our Lord's Prayer. Loving God, we thank you for another day, for another opportunity to use our senses to experience you in the world around us and in our hearts. Even though you are always with us, help us to pay special attention to the times we feel very close to you. Help us to remember the places we are when we feel that way. And help us to remember those times by giving thanks and by keeping them in our hearts, so that on tough days, even when our souvenirs aren't at reach, we can remind ourselves and others that we are filled with your hope and with your love. All of these things we pray in Christ's name, the one who taught us to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen."
Thank you.
Thank you, Cindy and Andrew. So I was thinking while you were playing, I always had this image of angels ascending and descending on a ladder. The piece was perfect for today's scripture story, and thank you. How many of you grew up with siblings? Most of us. Anyone here grow up with a twin? Okay, well, once in a while, a twin will emerge. As in today's story in Scripture. You don't need me to tell you that dynamics among siblings can be utterly fascinating. We all have our stories. The fact that such disparate personalities can possess the same family of origin underscores just how complex families really are. And those of you who have or have had brothers, sisters, siblings understand full well what I'm talking about. Today's focus in Scripture is about a man named Jacob. And yes, he had a twin brother named Esau. I just want to give you some brief family background. Abraham and Sarah had a son named Isaac. Isaac married Rebecca and were blessed with twin boys, Esau and Jacob. So intense was the sibling rivalry between Jacob and Esau that they were reported to have been wrestling for supremacy inside of Rebecca's womb. A lot of kicking going on. And Rebecca was not at all happy about this chaos that was unfolding during her pregnancy. In fact, the scripture in Genesis reports Rebecca as saying, "If this is the way it's going to be, why should I live?" Eventually, these two boys fought their way out of the birth canal, but not before Jacob grabbed the heel of Esau on the way out of the womb. It was a last-ditch effort to become number one. Esau held on, but barely, to become his father's primary heir, firstborn, very important in ancient Israel. But that never stopped Jacob. He was intent on overcoming his brother, intent on becoming the principal, the number one. And because Jacob was his mother, Rebecca's favorite, mom always loved him best, she provided Jacob with a plan to finally overcome and supplant his brother. This is made for TV stuff, by the way, if you haven't gathered. Father Isaac, Jacob and Esau's dad, well, he loved to eat. And he loved Esau, not only because Esau was his firstborn, but because Esau was a man, a skilled hunter, a real outdoorsman. He was an able provider. And Isaac was growing old, and his eyesight was failing, and he wanted to officially make Esau the head of the family. This would afford Esau with lots of power, and it would double the family inheritance. But before bestowing this blessing upon Esau, Isaac wanted a sumptuous meal. So he sent Esau out to hunt for the perfect prize. And that's when Rebekah and Jacob launched their dirty scheme. Jacob, get this, Jacob dressed up in Esau's clothing and put goat skin with hair on it on his hands and his arms to impersonate Esau's thick and hairy skin. The trick fooled the aging and weak Isaac into giving Jacob the official title of inheritance, of inheritor, of firstborn, the family fortune, and the blessing. Ouch. Of course, when Esau returned, all bloody broke out. And Esau, the expert hunter, made a vow to hunt Jacob down and kill him. Oh, aren't families wonderful? The scripture says that Esau now hated Jacob. And so Rebekah, the mom, tells Jacob, hey, you better hit the road, buddy, because your brother is coming after you. I want you to go as far as you can. I want you to go to Haran until Esau's anger settles down. And it is here in this moment between Jacob running for his life on the one hand, and then making his way to Rebekah's brother Laban's home on the other. He's headed to Haran, up to Rebekah's brother's place. This spot is where Jacob finds himself stopping to camp for the night. And in this nowhere place, between yesterday, where Jacob became a fugitive, and tomorrow, where Jacob will eventually meet his future wife, Jacob takes a nearby stone and uses it as a pillow. And he has a dream. I don't know about you, but I am a very active dreamer. And sometimes my dreams are so vivid that I find myself rewinding the scenes in my mind long after I awake. Some of these dreams are scary, disturbing, bizarre. But if there's one thing I know about dreams, is you can't control them. I can daydream about places I want to go or things I want to do. I can control that kind of dream. I can control a daydream. But sleep dreams? They're an invasion into my psyche. And for Jacob, the master controller, the master manipulator, the master thief, God chose to enter his life through his most vulnerable door, his soul, while he was disarmed and sleeping. And when he awoke, Jacob knew he had experienced something much more powerful than human conniving, human designing, and human plotting. Jacob had experienced the unbridled power of holiness. The power of otherness. The holy other. Biblical scholar Walter Brueggemann writes about Jacob, saying, and I quote, "The wakeful world of Jacob was a world of fear, terror, loneliness, and we may imagine unresolved guilt. The dream permits the entry of an alternative into his life," end quote. Like Jacob, you and I want to be on the move. We want to be in motion. And there are things that we try to manage as best we can. Things like our fears, our frustrations, yes, even our loneliness. And like Jacob, we are prone to either run away from something or find ourselves busily running towards something. Like Jacob, we are often caught between yesterday and tomorrow. We can get stuck dwelling on the past, or we can zoom past the present into the future, making our plans and forgetting about the moment that is before us. As Beatle John Lennon famously said, "Life is what happens while you are busy making other plans." And yet, God has a way of intruding upon our plans and activities as a way to remind us that God has a plan for me, for you, for us. These holy intrusions. And maybe, just maybe, we can help God by letting go of ourselves, the selves that we cling so mightily and so tightly to, making time for the holy to engage us is a way to let go of self, in order that holiness might find a way to flow in. And though it is healthy and wise to attend weekly worship, we ought not to forget that, like Jacob, We can experience God in the ordinary places which inhabit the entire earth. I was reminded of this recently while on vacation. By the way, I had a wonderful vacation. Our family went away, and I found myself able to let go of all my preoccupations, all my anxieties, all my worries, except for what I was going to eat that night. But you know the feeling, don't you? You know the feeling when you're open, the anxiety is low, you can appreciate the moment. I felt that on vacation, and I was reminded of Jacob. Yes, he experiences God when he is relaxed, when he's asleep. I could appreciate my feelings of joy, my appreciation for my family. We took some beautiful bike rides along Seneca Lake in New York State, looking down on beautiful vineyards. Breathtaking. Holy, I might add. Holiness had found a way to invade my soul. I was not preoccupied with tomorrow. I was living in the moment. Now, God is not, and we all know this, God is not in a fixed location. God is not constrained to operate within the walls of St. John's United Church of Christ, or any church for that matter. God is everywhere. Though we've done a pretty good job of relegating God to this sphere or to that sphere. We call these spheres secular and sacred. We love to organize. We like everything in its place. We're here, God is there. The truth is that God is in it all. When God spoke to Jacob in that dream, it was a message about Jacob's future. And in effect, I can hear God saying to Jacob, "Jacob, I'm tired of you being a loner. I'm tired of you conniving and operating on your own. Jacob, I'm going with you, and you'd be well advised to know that I am going with you everywhere." So it doesn't take a great intellect to realize that this is the same God who promises to go with you and with me everywhere. If God can engage a scoundrel and a cheat and a trickster and invite him on the journey of a lifetime, I believe that God can engage you and me and everyone. And that is good news. Amen.
Thank you.
As we move into our time of prayer this morning, I have a few joys and concerns to lift up. First of all, I appreciate your prayers for me in this past week. They were very much appreciated as I dealt with COVID for the first time in 3.5 years. It finally got me, but I appreciate your prayers, and I very much felt them and was surrounded by them, which was very lovely. A few more joys. Both John Hendricks and Ann Kinsey celebrated birthdays this past week, so we celebrate with them. And Barb Fretz will celebrate her 90th birthday on July 28th. So happy early birthday to Barb Fretz. A few concerns to lift up. We continue our prayers for Den Elman and his wife Ruth. We also continue to pray for Jean McKinstry Rogers. And our flowers in the chancel this morning are from the celebration of life of Jerry Umstead. So we continue to pray for Loretta and for Jerry's family. Knowing that we all come to this time and to this place with lots of prayers of our own on our hearts and minds, I want to invite you to bring those to mind now as we lift them up to God together in prayer. Gracious and loving God, even as we take time to sit in quietness, our thoughts are so often far from quiet. We are wrestling with doubts and fears. We are looking for answers. We are hoping against hope. We are seeking strength. We are hungry for healing, for rest, for justice, for answers. We are longing to hear your voice. God, we take time for all whom we lift up in prayer today. We pray for those who are ill, thinking especially of Den and Jean and the loved ones that surround them. We ask, O God, that you would surround Den and Jean and all who are sick with your strong, healing presence of patience, comfort, and love. God, we pray that you grant wisdom to those who need answers to difficult questions. Grant hope to those who despair, and friendship to those who feel lonely. Most of all, O God, we pray that we all might know and feel your love. God, when the peace and comfort of your presence feels like something we can only feel in our dreams, remind us of the reality of your steadfast love in our lives, meeting us where we are, wherever we are, each and every day. We look to you, O God, to be present in our communities and in our world. Continue to show us how we at St. John's can be a part of your work in the world. Teach us, O God, how we can both take you with us as we go out into the world and how we can seek and find you outside of these four walls. We take a moment now, O God, to lift up the prayers that are on our hearts and minds, knowing that you hear even the silent prayers of our hearts. Hear our prayers, O God. God, as we lift up with concern Den and Jean and Loretta, and with joy John and Anne and Barb, we gather all of our prayers together, the spoken and the unspoken. We lift them up to you, handing over the heavy burden of our fears and anxiety, and pray all of them in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. We now have the opportunity to give back some of what God has given us, so I want to invite you to join in singing our doxology as our offering is brought forward and as we dedicate it to God.
Gracious God, as our spiritual ancestors have done for centuries and centuries, we offer these gifts, knowing that you make the crooked places straight, that you bring brokenness into wholeness, and that your love reigns supreme. So take our offerings, take our lives, bless them. And we pray it in Jesus' name, amen. We hope you are able to join us next Sunday. We will be welcoming some new members into the faith and family of St. John's, and we will also be incorporating during the service a time of remembrance as we are coming upon the 1-year anniversary of Reverend Sue Bertolette's passing. So we hope you'll join us. May God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may God give you peace today, tomorrow, forever. Amen. Amen.